Source number one. The first pasuk of Parshas Re'eh says, Re'eh Anochi Nosem Lifnechem Hayom Brachu Klala. Behold, I've given you and put in front of you a bracha and a klala. What does the phrase bracha and klala refer to? It's a machlokas Rashi against the Ramban. Rashi says, it's a little small, Rashi says brachu klala refers to ha'amurim b'har grizmu b'har eva. Rashi says that the phrase bracha uklala in the first pasuk in Re'eh is referring to, it's foreshadowing. It's referring to what's going to happen in a few psukim later in when the Torah describes the bracha and klala on har grizim and har eva. There's a whole long description when Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua, and there was a whole bracha and klala, and Am Yisrael was mekabel on itself the mitzvos in har grizim and har eva. So according to Rashi, the phrase bracha and klala at the beginning of the parsha of Re'eh refers to what's going to happen a few psukim later. The Ramban says no. Source number three, the Ramban says no. That hasn't been mentioned yet. Ela perusho ki ani nosein lifneichem derech bracha v'derech klala. No, bracha and klala is not referring to the bracha and klala on har grizim and har eval. Rather, bracha and klala refers to the derech bracha and the way of bracha and the way of klala. And v'ta'am lifneichem. What does it mean v'lifneichem? What does the Torah mean when it says lifneichem? Shetevaru lachem. Mehen Masha Tirtzu. You should choose whichever one you want. Vodia Shetielacham Habracha Kasher Tasu Amitzvos Ve'akhalim Lo Tekaimu Osan. According to the Ramban, in two words, what is the pasuk describing? What does the phrase Brachu Klala refer to? In two words, Bechira Chafshis. Correct. That's what the Ramban says. That when the Torah says, "Behold, I am putting before you." Bracha uklala, it means I'm putting before you the way of bracha and the way of klala, and you're allowed to choose whichever way you want. You have bechira chafshis, and obviously you're supposed to choose the correct way, the good way. That's according to Ramban. So it's very nice. There's a machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, how to explain the first pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. In source number four, we have a long section from Parshas Nitzavim. And if you see there, this is in Perek Lamed of Devarim. So look there near the bottom, the underlined part. etc. So, in Parshas Nitzavim, what do we have in Parshas Nitzavim? What does the Torah talk about there? What's the topic of that paragraph in the Chumash? Bechira chafshis, uvacharta b'chaim. There it is, uvacharta b'chaim, and choose life. You have the way of good and evil, and life and death, and choose life. So this is what we have in this week's parasha, Parshas Nitzavim, the parasha of Bechira chafshis. So, based on this, one could have the following analysis. According to Rashi, there's no problem. According to Rashi, if I asked you, where does the Torah describe Bechira Chafshis, what's the answer? This week's Parsha, Parshas Nitzavim. According to the Ramban, however, and what's happening in Re'eh? The Torah is describing Har Grizim and Har Eval. No problem. However, according to the Ramban, you have a Kasha. What's the Kasha? Why does the Chumash, repeat the idea of Bechira Chafshis? That's a kasha according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, we already discussed Bechira Chafshis back in Re'eh. Why would the Torah repeat Bechira Chafshis again in Parshas Nitzavim? That's a good question. But this is a fair question that one can raise, and this is the question which Rav Salvechik Zatzal the Rav raised on a tape that I heard. This Dvar Torah is very dear to me because this is the first shiur I ever heard from Rav Salvechik on tape. I was never in the Rav shiur. I'm too young. I call myself a grand Talmud, you know, because most of my Rebbeim are Talmidim of the Rav, most. So I never heard the Rav speak. And then, when I was in yeshiva, so people said, there are tapes out there. So the Rav in the summer, up in Boston, would give shiurim, parsha and different topics in Lumbus. And so I got, someone gave me some Parsha Shirim that the Rav gave in Parsha Sere. And I began listening to the Rav, mesmerizing, absolutely mesmerizing. The beautiful language, and it's like painting. Sometimes you're listening to someone speak, and you feel like they're painting a picture with words. And that's how I felt. It was like totally mesmerizing. He had a perfect English, meaning the vocabulary. He spoke with a very heavy Yiddish accent at the same time, European accent. And we've played tapes on the Rav, you know, in some of the classes, and it's worthwhile hearing. And this was in the early 70s. So if you know Yiddish, then it's even better. If you know Yiddish, the Rav, the tapes of the Rav from Yiddish in the 50s and early 60s, people say are tremendous, but I don't know, you don't know Yiddish. So for the English, so it's amazing. So this is the first share I heard from the Rav. He raised this kasha, and he gave two answers to this kasha. One answer I'll say from him, and one answer I heard almost exactly the same answer from his brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal. Okay. So the first answer the Rav gave was as follows. And both of these answers, you know, we can apply this time of the year. Elul, coming up to doing tshuva, Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So look in the back in Parshas Nitzavim, in drawing Perek Lamed. Look at the top in the beginning of the Perek. It says, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. This is the Parsha of tshuva. So the Rav pointed out that in Nitzavim, when the Torah repeats Bechira Chafshis, it repeats Bechira Chafshis in the context of the mitzvah of tshuva. Right after the Torah gives the mitzvah of tshuva, then it repeats Bechira Chafshis. And the Rav thinks that might be the answer to the question. It is as follows. You know, to choose to do the right thing is sometimes difficult. You have Bechira Chafshis, Yetzahara, we choose to do the right thing. If a person, however, does a chait, and gets involved in a chait, and sometimes a chait can become like a habitual chait, and it's a person has a certain habit, a bad habit, then of course it's much harder to change. It's hard to do tshuva. So the bechira chafshis that one has to employ to choose to do the right thing, even after one's involved in chait, that's very difficult. That's an extra level of Bechira Chafshis. And a person might say to himself, you know, to choose to do the right thing, to have basic Bechira Chafshis, of course we all have Bechira Chafshis, but once I've done a chait and I'm involved in a chait, it's basically, you know, Hashem, it's impossible. I can't do it. I can't change. It's impossible to change the Zaveira. I can't stop speaking Lashon. I just can't. It's impossible. It's beyond me. A person might say to himself, my Bechira Chafshis goes so far, but not that far. What does the Torah do? Right after the mitzvah of tshuva, what does it do? The Torah re-emphasizes Bechira Chafshis. Not only does Hashem give us Bechira Chafshis on the regular, ordinary level, but even the heroic, extra special level of Bechira Chafshis, to choose to do the right thing, to break a bad habit. We know Chazal say that Balei Tshuva sometimes to be a higher level than tzaddikim gemurim, because, you know, to have taste of avera and stop required, it's very difficult. It's heroism, it's heroic. Ezehu gibor hakovesh es yitzro. Gevura. Gevura means to be a hero. It doesn't mean to be physically strong. It means to be a hero. The Rebbe would always like to say, that's the pashuk shad in the Birchos HaShachar. We have two brachos about strength. One is hanosein v'yoyev koach. That's physical strength. Thank you, Hashem. I was tired. You know, I was up till 4 in the morning. You know, it's an average seminary night, and now I'm, it's 8 in the morning and I'm wide awake more or less, and I'm in class, and thank you Hashem, hanosin l'yoyev koach. That's physical strength. But there's also ozer Yisrael v'gvura. Gvura, the pashut shot, means heroic strength, the strength to be a moral person, the strength to do the right thing and to make the right choices in life. That's what the brachos mean. We have one bracha for Hashem gives us every day physical strength, and another bracha that Hashem helps us in this heroic struggle to serve Hashem in the right way. And this is what's happening in the Psukim, that according to the Ramban, why does the Torah repeat Bechira Chafshis? Because the Torah wants to emphasize and teach us, don't think Bechira Chafshis is limited. A person can change, and a person can overcome the Yetzirah, and a person can break a bad habit, even when it's difficult, even when you've done a chait for many times, we still have the Bechira Chafshis to do tshuva. This is a major yesod in life. The Yetzer Hara wants us not to think this. The Yetzer Hara wants us to give up. If you give up, you lose. You're playing a game and you're losing. And if you give up, so you lose. Okay. If you don't give up, you still have a chance of, you know, winning. If you give up, you lose. And the Yetzer Hara wants us to have Yeyush. The Yetzer Hara wants us to give up. You give up, you lose. And he tries to convince us, you can't change. That's impossible. You know who you are. You've been the same person 18, 19 years. It's impossible to change. Have Yeyush. There's a famous saying, when boys start learning Gemara, the first Gemara they learn is in Eilu Metzias, and one of the first sugyas is about Yeyush. And the Gemara talks about Yeyush Shalomidas. Yeyush Shalomidas means literally, you give up hope about something without knowledge. The case is, if you lose an item, like in a stadium, there's no way you're going to get it back. Like, you know, it's going to be trampled. Okay. So what if you lose an item and you know you lost it? So, and you, and like 25,000 people have walked past where you left it. You're not going to get it back. Your miyai should give up hope. What if you lose something and you don't know you lost it yet? When you find out that you lost it, you'll give up hope. That's for sure. But you haven't checked your pockets recently. You don't know you lost it yet. So do we view it as if you've given up hope already? That's the major machlokas, which everyone learns the first time they start learning Gemara. That's called Yeyush Shalomidas. Giving up hope without knowledge, meaning that I've lost the item. I don't know. Lomidas. I don't know I've lost the item yet. When I find out that I lost it and I'll give up hope, is it viewed as if I've lost hope already? And if somebody finds it, is he allowed to keep it? If you find something before the person's miyayish, you have to give it back. If you find something after the person gives up hope, you can keep it. So that's the phrase, Yehu Shalomidas. The Bali Musar say, a play on words, Yehu Shalomidas means anyone who gives up hope about tshuva, it's out of Lomidas. It's because they're not thinking clearly. It's a famous, like the Bali Musar, and the Chassidish Sfarim write this, Yeyush is always Shalom Midas. You give up hope, that's because you're not thinking clearly. That's Yeyush. Again, it's not what the Gemara means literally. You understand? That's why it's when. But it's a play on words. Yeyush is Shalom Midas. You give up hope. You think, I can't change. No, that's because you're not thinking clearly. The Yetzer Hara is trying to convince you that it's impossible to change. That's Yeyush Shalom Midas. And that's exactly what the Gemara, how the Rav explains here. Why does the Torah repeat itself and give us another parsha of Bechira Chafshish? Don't have Yehush, don't give up. It's possible to have the heroic strength to do tshuva. That is pshat number one. The second pshat the Rav gave, I'll say over because in the name of his brother, because his brother of Aaron Salvejik, that's also said a very similar pshat and developed it a little further. I heard this later when I was in YU. Rav Aaron spoke about micro bechira chafshis and macro bechira chafshis. Micro bechira chafshis is localized bechira chafshis. You finish the meal, it's time to bench. You have a choice now to bench with a little more kavana or less kavana. It's better to bench with kavana. It's good to bench with kavana. We discussed in other classes, if you want to have kavana and brachos, the thank you book advises, it's a very good idea, to take around 5 seconds and think about the bracha in English first. In your own words. Say to yourself, oh, thank you, Hashem. And if you think about the bracha to yourself in English first, and then you say the bracha in Hebrew, it'll raise your kavana sky high. It's a very good idea. It's a wonderful book. Anyway, you should read the book called Thank You. If you read the book Thank You, you'll most likely thank me. Okay, anyway, so that's kavana, that's micro bechira chafshis. But then, there's macro bechira chafshis. Sometimes a person, it has a choice to make. And a person knows if I make this choice, this one choice might automatically lead to 1,000 choices. So if I choose X over Y, X leads to like 1,000 more things. And that's very difficult. Am I ready to make a change that I'm going to mamash change my whole direction in life? That's hard to do. Rav Aaron gave an example. The example, the mashal is not perfect because you'll see why, but it's an amazing story. He said that he was in the 1960s, I think, or maybe the 50s. He had a Talmud who was a Baal Tshuva. And he asked him, how did it happen? How did you become a Baal Tshuva? So the guy said his parents weren't observant. He grew up in New York somewhere. And, you know, after, I don't know, 7th or 8th grade, he's going to go to summer camp, sleepaway camp. So his parents, they want him to go to a Jewish camp. So his parents got a list of the Jewish summer camps in New York State. Alphabetical ordered list. First name on the list, Camp Agudah. His parents didn't know anything about anything, so they sent him to Camp Agudah, this non-religious boy. Alphabetical order, Agudah, A-G. He shows up at the camp, and they were, oh, there, so they gave him tzitzis and taught him how to do the whole thing, and it became really, it's an amazing story. His parents, by mistake, quote-unquote, hashkacha, send him to Camp Agudah, non-religious boy, and he gets there, and he ends up being a religious Jew. That's an example of, obviously, that choice to go to Camp Agudah automatically led to another 1,000 choices, ending up, you know, basically being observant. Now, the reason why the mashal is not perfect is because there, it was hashkacha, it wasn't a choice. You understand? But it's the idea. It's an amazing story. Then the other mashal he gave a mashal of Aaron, was about when you're driving, you have express lanes and local lanes. Sometimes you have a highway. A local lanes means there's an exit every, you know, few streets. Queens Boulevard, if you're holding in Cougar, in Forest Hills, Queens Boulevard has this. And then you have the express lanes. The express lanes are every 10 streets there's a turnoff. So you go faster. There are less cars coming in and out. But if you miss the turnoff, then automatically you have to go another 10 streets until you can turn around. Got it? So Ravarat, he was being driven once to a shear, and the driver missed the turnoff. And Ravarat said, whoa, you missed the turnoff. And I said, I'm sorry, Rav. So turn around. I can't turn around. We're the express lanes. Got it? So because he missed one turnoff, he was forced to go 2 miles before he turned around. That was his mashal. So in the express lanes, if you miss you make one turn automatically leads to another 2 miles, as opposed to another few blocks. That's a good mashal. That was Avaron's mashal. So Avaron said, and again, it's similar to what Rav Soloveitchik said, but it's a different focus. He thinks that if you look at the psukim in Nitzavim, the psukim in Nitzavim talk about a whole direction in life, and it's a more elaborate description. And Avaron explains that he thinks that the Torah has two parshios of Chir Chavshis because it's emphasizing that we have the ability, we have the capability of not just making the correct micro Bechira Chavshis choices, but we also have the ability to make the correct macro Bechira Chavshis choices. We shouldn't sell ourselves short. And you say, you know, to make this choice, oh, well, if I choose this now, this applies a lot of times to what school you're going to go to. You go to a certain school, I know if I'm in this school, this environment, it's likely X. If I'm in this school, this environment, it's likely a whole different set. And, you know, am I ready for that? Can I? And sometimes it's a hard choice to make. It's a hard choice to make sometimes. And that's the Bechira Chavshis that maybe is being described in Parshas Nitzavim, this macro Bechira Chavshis, the ability to mamish, make a whole shift in one's life and to go in a different direction. Maybe that's why the Torah repeats Bechira Chavshis. All right, those are maybe two possible pshatim as to why the Torah repeats Bechira Chavshis here in according to the Ramban in Parashas Nitzavim. Okay. Now just some other topics that relate to getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva Bechira Chavshis. Okay. So we have Bechira Chavshis and we want to do mitzvos, not do averos. Good, obviously. So let's talk about Yiras Shemayim. I once heard a beautiful, beautiful definition of Yiras Shemayim from my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita. And he based it on the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rav Shechter was talking, and he said, "Bechira Chavshis, Yiras Shemayim means a person says to himself, I accept upon myself that if I learn something in halacha, I'm going to keep it. Most of us don't know everything, and we learn things, and I accept upon myself." When you think about it, this is a very nice, practical, down-to-earth definition. If I accept this upon myself, if I learn something that I don't know yet, you know, then I'm going to do it. And there is an amazing yesod developed by Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, Parashat Pirkei Avos, in the Shaarei Tshuva, and it's mamash very important to know, and people should know it. It also relates to Shavuos and Naaseh V'Nishma. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, whosoever chachma is greater, whosoever chachma is greater than his actions, then the chachma will not be mitkayim. But if your actions are greater than your wisdom, if your maisav are more than your chachma, then that's going to be very good. So that's what the Mishnah says. Whosoever maisim are greater than his chachma, her chachma, then that's a very good thing. So what's the obvious question? How can what? How can your maisim be greater than what? Than your chachma. If you don't know it, how can you do it? How? What's the Mishnah talking about? It's a good question. The Mefarshim discussed this question and the Mishnah. How could the Mishnah say that a person's actions are greater than his knowledge? Rabbeinu Yonah says, an amazing bort, Rabbeinu Tzal Shlita loves to quote this, he quotes it in a lot of his writings, different places. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following idea. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if a person is makabel on himself to do a mitzvah that he learns, he doesn't know it yet. I'm a kabbalah myself. If when I learn this, I'll keep these halachos. Then Rabbeinu Yonah writes, he gets credit now as if he performed the mitzvah already. That's what he writes. And then when you actually do the mitzvah, you get credit again for doing the mitzvah. But Rabbeinu Yonah explains, when you had that original kabbalah, I accept upon myself to do the mitzvah, you credit now as if you did it, and that's the pshat in the Mishnah. It is actually possible for a person to have, quote unquote, more what? More actions than knowledge. Excuse me. More actions than knowledge. I didn't learn it yet. It doesn't matter. Since I'm a kabbalah on myself to do it, then I get credit now as if I did it already. So maybe, one second. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. And he says, this is the pshat, his pshat he says, in Naaseh V'Nishma. If a person does Naaseh V'Nishma, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that by Naaseh V'Nishma, the secret was, once Am Yisrael was makabel on themselves to do whatever Hashem says, even before they heard about it, they receive credit as if they did it already. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Rabbi Nevin Saul adds something to this. You have to think about this. I think it's very deep. He says it's more than that. He says, if you're makabel on yourself to do something, even before you learn the details, it's possible that you can get more schar than the actual mitzvos themselves. Why? Because you're makabel on yourself to do the mitzvos. You don't know what they were. They may have been even more than what they are. You know, let's say you're makabel Naaseh V'Nishma. You know, I'll do what the Torah says. So Rabbi Nevin Saul's marshal was, the Torah says fast on Yom Kippur. Now, the Torah could have said to do what? Fast every week. We didn't know what it said. So this is very deep. So when Am Yisrael said Naaseh V'Nishma, the Torah could have said, do Hajj Yom Kippur every week. And I accepted that upon myself. So therefore, he writes that if you have a sincere Kabbalah, that I will do whatever I learn, the schar is tremendous. Because you get credit for whatever the halacha theoretically might be, then you find out what it is, and then you do the halacha itself. It's a very deep idea that he writes actually in a few places. Very, very interesting. This is Rabbeinu Yonah on Naaseh V'Nishma. So Rav Schechter has a story that he tells. I've heard him tell it a few times. Rav Schechter, as you know, during the year is very busy. Very busy. Giving shir all the time. He gives a lot of shirim during the year. And paschim shilas and work, a lot of things. In the summer, in a sense, he has, in a sense, more time. So in the summers, Rav Schechter goes up to Tannersville, New York. Now, the last couple of years, he's been going part of the time to the NCSY Kollel in Israel, Tannersville. And he learns up in Tannersville, outside, and you can go, and that's where he learns out loud, and whoever wants, you can go sit there. So, twice. Okay, good. Now, so he's up in Tannersville, by the way, is an interesting place. Tannersville, it's in upstate New York, and Tannersville, a lot of, Rav Schechter lives in Washington Heights. A lot of the German Jews from Washington Heights go to Tannersville in the summer. And Tannersville also has a large Chabad community that goes up there maybe the year, but for sure in the summer. And they're there in the shul together, that's Tannersville. So the joke I heard when I was in Tannersville was that in Tannersville, The Mashiach is going to come right on time. If you get that joke exactly, in Tanazil, the Mashiach come right on time. If you get that joke, then gives you a good sense of what Tannersville. Anyway, so Rav Schechter tells the following story, and he said he was learning a Gemara, I think, in Menachos, and he was reviewing some halachos of mezuzah, and he mentioned that if you have a home in which you live during the year, that home needs a mezuzah the whole year, even if you go away for a month or two. But your home needs mezuzahs because you live there during the year. So let's say you live in New York City and you go up to Tannersville in the summer. You can't, let's say your house in the city has like 15 mezuzahs and your bungalow in Tannersville has 6. You can't take 6 mezuzahs off your house in New York, in the city, and take them up to the mountains and put them up for the 2 months and then bring them. You can't do that. Your house needs mezuzahs all year round if you live there during the year. Okay, so he mentioned that in passing as he was talking. And there were guys sitting around the table, like it's a long picnic bench. You know, these picnic tables are sitting around the table. And he noticed one guy just like disappeared. Like, you're sitting there, you're talking to 6 people, then like 5, a guy just disappears. No, just disappeared away from the table. Next day around lunchtime, he comes back. It's like a 2.5-hour drive. He says, oh, where were you? So the guy said, oh, Rebbe, that's me. What you described in this year, that's what I do every year. And when I heard you say that you need mezuzahs in your house the whole year, I left. He literally disappeared from this year on the spot. He left, got in his car, drove back to the city, bought mezuzahs, put them on his house, and the next morning came back up to continue learning with Rav Schechter. It's an amazing story. That's Yiras Shamayim. You're at a shir, Yir Halacha, and boom, literally you disappear. You buy mezuzahs, you come back. That's an excellent, working, practical definition of Yiras Shamayim. And it's something to keep in mind as we head up towards Rosh Hashanah. If you want to think about a very nice, serious, specific, focused Kabbalah that we can make for Rosh Hashanah, it's this idea. It's basically it's very simple. It's Naaseh V'Nishma. And it's Naaseh V'Nishma that a person has a Kabbalah on himself to keep that which he learns. That's topic number 2. Third topic, and then we'll stop. Maybe some of you have heard this before, maybe. This is a beautiful, beautiful idea from Rabbi Evansal Shlita, and it's worthwhile to hear again and again and again. And it goes as follows. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah a day of tshuva? Is Rosh Hashanah a day of tshuva? Yes or no? I have a ironclad proof that Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva. Prove. Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva. Ironclad proof. What color was George Washington's white horse? White. How many days are there in the 10 days of tshuva? Is there some tshuva? 10. And 2 of them are Rosh Hashanah. There is no way around that. Rosh Hashanah is definitely a day of tshuva. There are 10 days of Sarasimei tshuva. Now, what you guys said is correct. Now, it's like this. It's an interesting type of tshuva. You don't mention chetan Rosh Hashanah. We go out of way. We barely mention chetan at all. We barely mention chetan and Rosh Hashanah. You barely mention the word tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. You mentioned tshuva tefillah with tzedakah. It's true that it must be a different type of tshuva, but it's 20% of the Seder Simei tshuva. So what's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? Like Yom Kippur, al chet, we understand. What exactly is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? It's an excellent question. And the Mefarshim discuss this. People discuss this. So to me, Rav Nevinsal Shlita gives the mashal, the mashal I understand the best to explain this. It's a very beautiful idea. And the mashal is how to knock down a building. There are 2 ways you can knock down a building. One way is you take a wrecking ball and you smash the building 1 floor at a time until you knock down a building. The other way to knock down a building is you take a bulldozer or whatever and you dig out the foundation of the building. You dig underneath the building and you rip out the whole foundation. You don't touch the floors themselves. And if you dig out the whole foundation, what happens? What happens? The whole building collapses on itself. Rav Nevinsal said, Yom Kippur is the first way, and Rosh Hashanah is the second way. Yom Kippur is search and destroy. Every chait that a person thinks they might have, every floor in the building, hopefully the building is not too tall, every floor in the building, al chait, and shuvah. Rosh Hashanah is the foundation of Chayim. What is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, the primary theme? Malchus, Hashem is the King. We accept upon ourselves Hashem as the King. We mention the word Malchus thousands of times. I don't know, you have to count up a thousand on Rosh Hashanah. Melech, 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 and it's Kios, the main theme, it's the incarnating a king. We accept upon ourselves Hashem is the King. If a Jew really, really, really felt Hashem is the King, 1,000%, the King, not a figurehead king, like Lahavdu, like, you know, a real king who governs my life. Everything I do in my life is dependent on the King. Everything I get in my life is dependent on the King. Everything He says I have to do. Rosh Hashanah, we're attacking the foundation of Chayt. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is to accept and accept and re-accept and re-accept the notion Hashem is the King, Hashem is the Melech, Hashem runs the world, Hashem runs my life and governs my life. And if a person has the proper attitude that Hashem is the King, and that will automatically lead to a person not doing chataim and getting focused on tshuva. Rabbi Amitzal, he completes the mashal, the more you dig out the foundation, the easier it is to break down every floor of the building. So it's not the tshuva we're used to, like Yom Kippur, but it's certainly tshuva. I think it's a perfect mashal, and this is what we're focusing on. We're focusing on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem runs the world. Hashem runs my life. Hashem governs everything about everything that I'm involved in. And how could I possibly not do what the King says? How could I not? Hashem controls everything. He controls everything about my life. I'm totally dependent on Hashem. And if I really, really believe that, then of course the next logical conclusion is to not do chataim, and the chataim fall away, in a sense, almost automatically by ripping out the foundation. So this is our third idea for today, the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. It's the tshuva of undermining the foundation of chayt. You barely mention chataim Rosh Hashanah, but it's certainly a major day of tshuva, and we'll stop.